Hey, welcome to the Crosstalk Podcast,
where real people talk about a real God in real life. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Rocker.
I'm Laurie Ann. Come for the laughs, stay for the truth, and leave encouraged to walk closer with Jesus.
I'm content just to look at the sky.
Welcome to the Crosstalk Podcast. I'm Rock.
I'm Laurie Ann.
And Stephanie is currently full of laughing right now. So she'll be with us in just a second. You don't go anywhere, all right? This is going to be a great episode. Today, we're going to talk about testimonies.
We are. We're going to talk about testimonies. We're going to talk about Rocker's testimony.
Hello, I'm Rocker.
We are so excited to get to hear your testimony, Rocker.
I'm excited to tell it. You know, I haven't been in a space to where I had to, you know, truly or genuinely give a testimony. Unless I was at my mom's church. And, you know, it's the first 5 minutes when you know, the service just start. And they're like, all right, everybody, this is the testimony service. You get up and you tell your testimony. And everybody get up and be like, you know, I want to thank God for being here. You know what I'm saying? But now I get to actually tell, you know, from bottom to the top, like, this is how I found God.
I love that. And I'm so excited for us to get to hear it, because this is a chance for us to hear more about each other's testimonies if we don't know about it, but also for y'all to get to know us as we start this podcast, which is really exciting. Excuse me. I told Rocker earlier that I haven't heard all of his story, and so I'm so excited to get to hear the rest of it.
Yeah, man.
Me too.
I'm excited to tell it, to be honest. I know y'all put your seatbelts on. This might take a couple turns, a couple, you know, ups, downs, lows, highs, but we're going to tell it all. We're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
I have to tell y'all this. I didn't tell y'all earlier. On the way here, I was listening to a song as I was turning into y'all's neighborhood, and it was literally, God Story?
Oh, cool.
Was that song? And it was Our Whole Life is a God Story. And so we're getting to hear your God story, my friend.
Let's go. Listening to Sinner and Holy Forever, but that one's good too. All right. Well, first, I want to start by letting everybody know that, yes, I am a PK. I am a preacher's kid.
Nice.
But both of my parents were preachers. So I wasn't just a one preacher kid. I was a, you know, I had it twice.
Yeah.
So every Wednesday night, every Friday night, every Sunday was spent at church.
Once the doors were open, you were there.
I was there, you know, and I really had to sit down and try to keep all the motions in check, because I was a kid at the time and I was a very hyperactive kid. So I was one of those, like, I can't sit still for too long. I got to do something. And, either way, though, I appreciated my parents, because it really, at that time, kept me to being, I had a routine, and it was something that I had to continue to do, and no matter how I felt, I had to get through it. So that really helped me in life, being able to, like, be a part of something like that and everything. But I also loved to see my mom and my dad, like, preach and be in the moment and, like, see how they control the crowd and, like, really told their stories in front of everybody. But I love how they related to God and also helped others understand and relate as well.
Nice. I love that.
But I told you, I was hyperactive, so I had to do something. And I seen that big old shiny drum set over to the side, and at that moment, my life was crafted by God to be a musician.
Amen.
You know, because that was one of the, like, I would get up every time we go into church. I'm like, okay, great. I don't have a set at home, but I can go to church and I can practice.
How old were you when you first started?
I was about 4 years old.
No way.
Yeah, I would, like, beat on all the pots and pans at home.
I love that.
Man, I drove my mom nuts, but she loved it. She loved the fact that I was into it, you know. And at church, my little feet couldn't reach the pedals. So, like, she would sit down on the drum set with me and let me play. And she'll control the little feet. And aww, I'll be up there. You see, like, sweat coming from my head, because I'm really trying, you know. But, yeah, I was introduced, you know, to church that way with my parents. And faith in God is what led us at home all the time. Whenever we had a hard moment, we prayed. My mom would, I remember, coming up through high school, it was questions about whether I was going to graduate or not. And my mom took me to the closet and we prayed and I passed. But faith has always been what grounded us as a family. Yeah. Still to this day, grounds us all. We all pray together. We all push each other as far as in growing in the Christ. But the difference is where at that point in life with my parents, it wasn't at the point in my life where I chose God. They chose him for me. Mm-hmm. Then as I grew up, I realized I had to choose him for myself. Yeah. Because once I got to college, it wasn't anybody like, come on, man, let's go to church. Or, hey, man, you going to church? It wasn't anybody pulling me out of bed or trying to hold me to God. But I just, you know, being in a family that pursued the faith so much, no matter how far you stray from it, it's still in you.
Yeah.
And yeah. At that moment, it's like I could never get so far to where I was completely lost, because when hard times came, the only thing that I knew was to go to him.
Praise God for that.
That's all I knew. But I got to some bumpy parts in my life. It got to the point to where I almost died a few times, where I was like, okay, I really need to be locked into the faith. And one of those times was, I was with my cousin. We were in the lovely land of Satsuma. And hey. Yeah. And okay. I was riding with him, and it was a really, really rainy night. It was so rainy. Like, I just remember sitting in the car, and I was like, man, it is really pouring. It feels like a hurricane. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. At the time,
was it a hurricane?
Nah, it wasn't a hurricane. It was just a really bad storm.
It could have been.
And it's a road over here where it's a ditch on both sides. And at the time, it was raining so hard, my cousin couldn't see. So he hit a sign and flipped the car into the ditch.
Oh, my gosh.
And it landed where the top of the car, we landed right on the top of it, and water started to flood inside of the car.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, the whole time, again, I'm like young. I'm not thinking. I'm like, oh, wow. We're upside down.
How old were you?
I was about 12.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So at the time, I'm like, we're upside down. I'm like, man, I took my seatbelt off. I land, you know, right on like the hood. My cousins are still upside down. But my other cousin on the right side, he was stuck. His seatbelt had jammed. The water's coming in. It's starting to go over his face at this point.
Oh, my gosh.
So we had to take a seatbelt cutter and get him out. We got him out. Everybody was flipped over inside of the back of the car. We kicked the back windshield out, and we swam out.
Oh, my gosh.
And thankfully, we were only like 5-6 minutes away from my aunt's house. So we go to my aunt's house. I'm in the shower. And I'm just like, you know, first I'm just thanking God that I'm alive.
Right.
And then I see blood like coming all the way down in the shower. I'm like, oh, this is bad. This is really bad. And so the cops knock on the door and they were like, hey, did y'all know anything about this car that's flipped over in the ditch? And my aunt was like, yeah, my son was in it. And he was like, well, we're pretty sure everybody that was in that car is dead. And then I come around the corner. I was like, who died?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was crazy. But at that moment, I realized like how precious life was and how I needed to be more into my faith.
Yeah.
And at that moment, like life changed for me. I started to really, from 12 years old, started to really like lean into God. And at, you know, just growing from that into now going to college, it was even more, you know, adversity in my life. And it got to a point to where I was just like, you know, sometimes I would question and ask myself, like, is God really listening to me? You know,
yeah.
I see what he's done for everybody else in my life, but why am I facing so many hardships? I felt like I've been so faithful in things, but why, you know, why haven't I seen him move tremendously in my life? But it wasn't at the fact that God was not moving tremendously in my life. It was the fact that I was not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not listening. I love music so much. Like, I prided myself on being able to listen to something and regurgitate it. Mm-hmm. So many times I would be in different bands and they would all not be listening to Christian stuff. They'd listen to a whole bunch of other stuff. Some of it I was fascinated with. Some of it truly, genuinely scared me. But I had to then find my own way out of it because I was like, hold on. You will listen to something and you could feel the discernment in your spirit just be like, nah, man, this is not for me. But I had to pay attention to that because as I grew older, I seen how some of that strayed me away.
Yeah.
You know, but all, you know, just going back around to the end of my testimony, to be honest, it's like when I found... Well, hold on. I won't say the end of it because it's a church hurt part of it that I do need to tell. Mm-hmm. But as I grew up through the college with the music and everything, whenever I started to play at churches again at that moment, it's where I started to turn around. Because now I see at that moment, gigging in that culture, I was trying to be the best at whatever I did. So that also would, like I said, stray me away. But I noticed when I played at church music, I have a foundation here to where I can do these things and be great and still be able to devote myself mm-hmm. to God, you know. But it got to the point to where my mom's church, I would go there. That was the only church that I ever known. Mm-hmm. So coming out of college, it was at a point to where, okay, I need to start seeing other things because the only thing that I know is my mom and my dad's church being a, you know, a PK. And it wasn't until like I started getting invites to start play at other churches that I started to notice and see different things. And then when I came back to my mom's church, I was like, hey, can we start changing some things? Cause I see certain things that flow better. Y'all, I'm not gonna lie to y'all. Those rumors you hear about, you know, the, I don't want to say like black churches, but I'm going to just say it because that's the only way to say it. Those rumors you hear about black churches are true. Like some of them, most like some of them. You go in at 8, you might get out at 4 or 5.
Dang.
You are there for a while.
I've heard rumors.
Mm-hmm. You are there for a while, girl. I remember me and my niece, we still joke about this today. It was some lady, man. See, it was a Friday night. Church started at like 7. This lady came in and I mean, she was really good. She was really preaching, but the spirit was hitting her and it was 9 o'clock.
Oh,
I'm looking at my niece. I'm like, man, she's still going. 10:30 came.
Oh my God.
She's still going. Wow. Me and my niece fell asleep. I mean, I'm in the back rocking like this. I woke up. I was like, hey, we done yet? She's like, ah, bro, she's still going. It's 2 in the morning.
Stop no it.
Way. Promise.
Stop.
Promise.
There were still people there?
No, it was like us. It was like maybe like 8 people still there.
She was going to preach till that place was empty.
Exactly. But it got to the point to where like I knew I could talk to my mom. And yeah. I could talk to my grandmother who was like pastor, assistant pastor. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, guys, I know y'all noticed that it's, you know, the family comes to the church, but they pick certain days. Like, they coming on Easter. They coming on, like, Christmas. Mm-hmm. I'm like, they're not coming every Sunday.
The big holidays.
Exactly. And it got to the point to where I was like, hey, y'all, can we like... change some stuff. Can we get some regular hours going? I was like, I don't think it's fair that you expect kids and people to sit for 8 hours at church on one day. I'm like, they don't even do that at school.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I talked to them about it, and then it got to the point to where I guess my mom was upset one day, and she decided to preach a sermon, and then I realized 3 minutes into the sermon that it was about me.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I stood up, and I was like... I gotta go. Like, I don't know where I'm gonna go, but I gotta go. And, you know, she kind of stopped mid-sermon as she seen me walking out. She was like, where are you going?
She called you out.
Yeah, she did. And I told her, I was like, somewhere where I can find God. And I left. I promise.
Ooh.
Because I didn't want to disturb my mom. I know my mom had a message. I didn't know what it was. And I just tried to be... I want to say, just nice about it without having that happen. But yeah. She kind of pushed that moment.
Yeah.
And as I left those doors, I was like, I got to find a place that's right for me. So I tried a couple other churches, and most churches, like, they would see me as, I don't know, man.
You say it.
As the token. Yeah. Like, they see me as the guy who can play drums, and that's what they used me for. Mm-hmm. And they would have me there like my mom and my dad would every Wednesday night, Friday night, Sunday. And I was just like, this is hindering my growth as well, because now I'm looking at church not for me to grow as a Christian, but I'm looking at it as a job. Like, I go on Sunday and I get paid. And just like any other 9-to-5, I look forward to that check and I move on. But I was like, this is not helpful for me and my growth in God. If anything, it was pushing me away, because I'm like, man, I don't want to listen to that, because now I feel like I'm practicing internally, you know? So fast forward to I get a call from one of my friends, Andrew, and he was like, hey, man, I got a church gig for you. They really could use a drummer this Sunday. How do you feel about it? And before that call, just a couple days before, I was like, look, man, I'm not taking any more church gigs. I don't even think I want to continue drumming. Like, I don't know if I want to do this, because all it has done is led me to a bunch of me being used and abused. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to continue to do this.
It's not bringing the joy it used to bring.
Yeah, it actually was pushing me away and taking it away from me. And then it got to the point to where I just said, you know what? I'll just take this last one. It's my friend Andrew's. Let me just do it. And I come in and Laurianne's there.
Hello.
Yeah.
Was this at our church?
Yes.
Andrew who?
Andrew
Ayers.
Ayers.
Who plays the keys sometimes at our night of worship.
I did not realize that was this for connection was made.
Was this for a night of worship, or was this for a regular Sunday?
This was for a regular Sunday.
Okay.
How cool. I did not realize that was the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Too cool.
And so I get there, and, you know, Laurianne's like, hey, man, you know, just really being a light at the time. And I was like, okay, the vibe here is a little bit different. You know, maybe this will be great. And we played. And at that time, you know, people talk about the Holy Spirit and how it feels when it hit you. And I was going through a lot of dark in my life at that moment, and I was just looking for any light I could find. And man, that day, I remember closing my eyes through the set. I don't even remember playing, but what came out was great, because God led all of it.
Yeah.
Every single beat, every single note. And I was just like, I like this place. And so I left, and you know, I was just going to leave. I wasn't going to say too much. But Laurianne was like, hey, would you be interested in maybe coming back next Sunday? We could use you. And I was like, yeah, I'll be back. And Pastor Mike greeted me at the end of it. He was like, man, you're really good. Thank you for coming and everything. And the way that the rest of the people who didn't know me didn't see me from my drum, they seen the light of God in me, and they loved on me from that moment forward. I was like, this is my church home.
That makes me so happy.
How cool is that? Yeah, I'm grinning ear to ear right now. I just love this.
I was like, this is my church home. And I remember after the second time, I was like, all right, so same time next week? And she was like, I mean,
You're in it. Let's go.
Then I joined the worship team. And I just remember the one thing that I asked was like, can I not play every Sunday? Because as much as I want to play and give my gift back, I also want to be an active participant. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to learn. I want to grow. And ever since that moment, I've just grown deeper and deeper. Do I have my struggles? Yes, I do. But the one thing I love about my church is they support me through all of it. And I have lost struggles because I have grown in Stillwater and with God in this church.
Oh, I'm about to cry.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful. I'm so thankful that you came and that God just orchestrated that. That's just amazing.
It really did.
Yeah, it's been, and you know, I don't know where this saying comes from, but it's like, When I first met you, it's like the light in me recognized the light in you.
Man.
I didn't make that up. That comes from somewhere else.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can just tell, sometimes you can just tell when a person is just filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
Or, and you know, it's just innate in you. And it always has been. Talk about a light.
Man.
You know, you come in and you're just always happy to see you. You know, you've always got a good word to say. You're always encouraging and uplifting. And so our church has been blessed by you.
Man.
For sure.
That's a lot. I like that, man. I appreciate you guys, for real.
It's true. And, like, I know when I was leading worship, one thing that I never wanted you to feel was that everything relied on you being there as the drummer. And I never wanted to put that kind of pressure on you, because drummers are hard to find. Good drummers are hard to find in a worship band, or, you know, especially when you don't get paid a lot or you're a volunteer or something like that. So I wanted to make sure that you knew, like, yeah, your talent is extremely appreciated, but your growth as a follower of Jesus Christ is way more important than playing drums on a Sunday. And just learning that the band can go without. Jesus does not require a full contemporary worship band on a Sunday. He just requires a dedicated heart of worship.
That's right. Come in spirit and truth.
Yep.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And that Spirit and Truth conference was when I first felt his presence.
Nice.
Really? Yep. The lady, I remember it. She was telling us to close our eyes and to meditate. And I did.
I remember that. Yes.
But I did not feel him at that moment.
Really?
Nope. It wasn't until the next day when I was driving back for day two that his presence fell on me as I was listening. Ooh. On the way there.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That was one of the greatest moments.
A beautiful testimony that is, just right there, though, that if you feel like you should have heard God in a certain moment, be patient and keep listening.
Exactly.
I love that.
Yeah, my mom used to sing that song, "He may not come when you want him, but he'd be there right on time."
I don't know that one.
But I love that.
But I love it.
Yes.
That's exactly how it was for me. Yeah.
So you said that was when you felt the Holy Spirit. Like, when is the first time in your story that you remember feeling the Holy Spirit?
I was at church. We had finished. I was 15. And I got in the car with my mom, and I just couldn't stop laughing or smiling.
Oh,
and
yay.
She was just like, "What's so funny?" I was like, "I don't know, but I just feel great and I feel at peace and I just feel so present." Right, Bonnie? I know. Sorry. You understand.
You hear Bonnie girl over there?
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep her quiet.
But I just,
that's really, would you say that was when, like, you accepted Jesus into your life? Like, when would you say that really happened, where, like, it may not have been when it fully became?
Yeah.
Like, when everything was on the straight path at that point, which I feel like none of our paths are really straight. They weave all over the place. But, like, when would you say was the moment, like, you accepted Jesus into your heart?
That's tough for me, because being a kid and growing up in church, mm-hmm. like I told you, that was the way that I was taught.
Yeah.
There was no other way for me, because I didn't know it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I got baptized, and after that, I was like, I chose Jesus. Now, did I follow every rule he had laid down? Nah.
Nope.
Half of them I didn't even know, you know. But, like, I've always chosen, but the day that I chose them for myself had to be around 14, 15, because at that point, my wherewithal, like, I knew, okay, I gotta make a decision to where I'm gonna be a follower.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's always special to kind of think back, because, and we'll talk about this next time, but I would say when I accepted Jesus isn't necessarily the moment that my faith fully became my own.
Yeah.
You know, those are almost two different moments in the story.
That's true.
Yeah.
Which I could see that, because that pretty much was, like I said, I was a preacher kid, and then God, you know, my family showed me Christ, but I had to choose him for myself. I couldn't choose him just because my family chose him.
Yeah. You mentioned your mom and dad were both preachers. Was it both at the same church?
No, it wasn't actually.
Okay, I was feeling that as you were talking, that it didn't sound like they were at the same place.
They did go at first together, and they would go and be there. Something happened to what my dad wanted to branch off and find another church. And I kept telling my mom and my grandma and them, I was like, this church needs a lot more structure. Mm. Y'all let a lot of people guide the way that this is run that shouldn't necessarily do that. You know, it was a lot of people who would do things that were very, like, questionable. Not nothing, like, crazy or anything. But, like, people would get up and have testimony service for 30 minutes. And I'm like, come on, man. It's at a point, like, we need to get to preaching. And I think, like, a lot of little things like that kind of was a little difficult for my dad. And so my dad was like, let me try a different church. But then he found out, just because you switch churches don't mean that the grass is always green on the other side.
That's true.
The grass is only greener where you water it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good too. One thing about Rocker, you are full of some wise one-liners.
You are.
For real?
Yes.
That's where all the gray hairs come from.
That's so funny. I was thinking of this. It was, I think, one of the worship nights, and people had a moment to speak and everything, and you came up, and it was like you just knew right in that moment something good was about to come out. Like, mm-hmm. you just are full of such amazing wisdom, and I think that comes from being around it since you were so young. Yeah.
I have a question for you.
What's up?
So you have your first time preaching.
Yeah.
Was at Stillwater.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How many months ago?
It was around July.
So a little over 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And your sermon stuck with so many people. Your sermon was about prayer.
Girl.
And I want to talk about prayer.
Okay.
So, and I know this episode is about your testimony, but I seek your wisdom, sir.
Okay.
So our church is trying to cultivate an attitude of prayer in our services, right? A culture of prayer.
Okay.
Where we want people to feel comfortable and open enough to come to the altar to meet with Jesus during the altar calls. And culture change is hard in a church. Especially when you've done things the same way for so many years. Mm. But I just want to know if you have any thoughts on how we can encourage that kind of expression in worship.
I mean, I think, honestly, when it comes to altar calls, a lot of people feel as if they go up for altar call, like, they're being, like, I want to say they've been, like, set apart. So they feel nervous about coming up there because either they worry about what they're going to have to tell you when they get there or what other people are thinking because they are there. And as far as going to get more people to participate in altar call, I would just probably just recommend having more of an open prayer so that people feel a little bit more comfortable about it. And also just communicating that, like, hey, this is a space that this is here for you and for us to help with you meeting and talking to God. Because a lot of people are not even comfortable talking to him by themselves. Some people are afraid to pray because they feel like they don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, you don't have to have some type of structured prayer. You can just talk to God. Yeah. A lot of people kind of see him as if he's the president or the governor, and you got to create some type of speech that you're supposed to read. I mean, he walks with you. Mm-hmm. He sees everything. He created your entire plan.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. Just talk. Just communicate.
That's beautiful.
And I think realizing that it doesn't have to be a big issue that makes you go up to the altar.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like sometimes we think that it has to be something major, or mm-hmm. I know that I can feel that way sometimes even. You know, like,
well, this isn't big enough for me to go and ask for prayer for. But when we had our prayer training, what we call it, a training?
This past weekend.
Yeah. One of the things that she mentioned is that's just a culture in their church, is that people just go up for prayer, even over like the smallest things. Oh, I have a doctor's appointment coming up, or
I have a business meeting I need to prepare for.
Yes. And it's just the slightest thing, which that's not slight to you in that moment. That's a big deal in that moment. And you just want somebody else praying with you. I think it's a willingness to be vulnerable.
Yeah, that's true.
With your life, you know. I think some of us tend to be a little bit more private or whatever it may be, but I just think it takes time to build that culture and realizing nothing's too small to take to God.
That's true. But I am a firm believer of, I know many people have many layers to their life, but the way that you get through layers sometimes is by using a knife. And what I would say is, hey, while I'm up on stage, if you, this altar is open for prayer. If you got a doctor's appointment or you got anything that you are uncertain about, even if you are certain about it and you would like to have some, you would like to ask God to guide you, to show you, to walk with you, come up to the altar. Let us pray with you. And I feel like a lot of people will feel even more comfortable about asking, seeking prayer. If we just start naming things, and, you know, asking them to come, and then they'll be like, oh yeah, I got a doctor's appointment, let me go up there and pray.
That's a great point. It's a great idea.
But you didn't lie. A lot of people did take from that sermon, and I'm not gonna sit here and claim it as just my sermon, because I had a lot of help from my friends. Man, Laurianne, we was knee deep in that thing while I was
Google Doc.
Yeah,
your notes.
Yeah, we had like combined notes. She looked over it and she helped me. Pastor Mike helped me, and we prayed about it, and I just asked God, because I prayed over the entire room that day. I got there early, even though I did get there early by mistake, because I thought that I was supposed to have been preaching at 7 a.m.
Oh,
no, you didn't know that.
Because I don't go to the first service. I only go to the second one. So I was there like really early, but I'm so happy that God did that. He led me there that early, because I was able to pray in the parking lot, prayed over the parking lot. I was able to pray over the pulpit, the room, just asking him, like, let this sermon reach who it need to reach. And it was people from Wisconsin, like Wisconsin, talking about worked. This helped me. It was the kids even preached about it just a few sermons ago. Same sermon from months ago still rang true in a lot of people's ears, and I thank God for speaking through me, and so other people could get that message. I kind of want to do it again, though. I'm not gonna lie to you. I got like a sermon that I was thinking about, like I've been kind of like doing notes about, by David and the slingshot, right?
Okay.
Because a lot of people think like it was because of the power of the slingshot, the reason why Goliath went down. They don't understand it, the fact that you still had to aim. What are you aiming for in life? What are you aiming at? What goal are you aiming for? Just because you got the power of God beside you, what are you aiming for? Because you could miss the target completely and be misusing your power.
Wow.
That's something to think about.
Misusing the tools God has given you.
Exactly.
Have you ever thought about going to seminary?
I've been asked.
It comes by natural.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna lie, I've given a lot of thought. Even the walk to Emmaus, I've given a lot of thought to. But I'm not gonna lie, low key, I'm kind of scared.
Are you going?
Not this year.
Why?
Don't be scared.
It's amazing.
Not gonna lie, I am kind of scared.
What are you scared for?
A piece of my testimony will bring up my walk to Emmaus.
All right, great. I'm looking forward to next week then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've given a lot of thought to it. And Pastor Mike has talked to me about it too. I'm praying about that thing.
Keep praying. It'll happen when it's supposed to. I prayed about it for 10 years.
Yeah.
Before the timing finally lined up. And I went a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what I got out of it was incredible.
For Emmaus?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I have visions sometimes of me on the pulpit preaching at Stillwater. And
where do you think those visions come from?
It comes from God. I know. But the way that I'm preaching in these visions sometimes make me wonder, will it be received?
It didn't matter.
Because the way that I'm reaching that, it's a lot of power in it. And I'm like, whoa, this scares me. Because I'm like,
yeah,
I've you showing me this. I've never felt this before, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not scared to feel that. I promise I'm not.
Yeah. Look, if God gives you a word and he calls you to speak it and to preach it, we are called to be obedient no matter what the outcome may be.
That's true. And we all know what happens when you run from it.
Yeah. You get swallowed by a whale and spit out right where you're supposed to be.
And I don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. I don't even like swimming like that. I don't even like swimming like that, man.
I don't even know what to say to that.
It's okay. I thank y'all for listening to my testimony. I'm happy I got a chance to, you know, talk about it and be with my friends and talk about it. And all of those listeners who listening out, I really hope that you guys got things from it. I apologize if it was too much of a roller coaster. But if it is something that you got from that roller coaster, thank you for enjoying the ride.
Thank you so much for sharing, Rocker. That was awesome.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rocker. And we'll see you guys or talk to you guys in the next episode 3 for Stephanie's testimony.
Let's go.
Stay blessed.
God bless y'all.